It's time for Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads, as we welcome in Fox 8's own John Telitz. John, how are we doing?
Doing great. Happy holidays to you and to all your many fine listeners there, Rocco.
Well, I appreciate that, JT, and you know, we wish the same to you as well. And you know, talking about the Cleveland Browns here, I know they aren't interested in moral victories at this point. They're changing that culture. You know, they got the winning season under their belt at this point. So again, moral victories, not what they're shooting for. But man, what a toughly fought game against the Ravens on Monday night. Just one or two plays go Cleveland's way, and I think they end up on top. They don't, obviously. Justin Tucker hits the field goal. But man, JT, I think the Browns have proven they can hang with the big boys now. That was a far cry from what we saw week one from this team.
Absolutely. You know, and I remember after the game, a lot of questions being thrown at the coach and some of the players about, you know, can you take this as a quote-unquote, as you mentioned, Rocco, a moral victory. And I'm all for the universal ban on moral victories, except in this occasion. And here's the reason why. I'm just going to, if I may, plead the case, Your Honor, for a moral victory. And I know I'm being facetious here in some ways, but maybe I'm not. There's been 22 seasons of football in Northeast Ohio since the Browns were reborn. They've had one playoff game, which we all know they lost. It was in January of 03. They had a stint where they were 1-31. They had a full season where they didn't win a game. Their coach jumped in the lake. In the opener against this same team, they lost 38-6. Things unraveled quickly after a fake punt that went very, very bad. And then they go up and put 42 points on the board on a Monday night, still missing some of their better players, like their Pro Bowl caliber defensive back and a very good tight end. And they play these guys right down to the wire. Obviously, they have, you know, the field goal that was missed and the extra point that was missed and what have you. So knowing full well that in this universe, moral victories do not exist, I am willing to make an exception, Your Honor, and say that at least on this occasion, oh, go ahead and say the Browns are now 9.5 and 3.5 instead of 9-4. Just to have fun with it. And I think as much as they lost the game, I think they did, as you mentioned, Rocco, they proved to not just maybe perhaps themselves, but to teams around the league and certainly to their fan base that, you know, they're looking ahead and it's not about the Freddie Kitchens era or the Hugh Jackson era or T-shirts that denigrate another fan base saying that they started it. It's just about playing football and winning games. And so you know, I was impressed on many levels what they did the other night. And it was just such a great game to watch. And, yeah. And I saw that the NFL Network last night, Rocco, you know, they replayed that game already, as they say, quote unquote, an instant classic.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, again, we went through the whole moral victory discussion there. But, you know, quite the effort from the Browns. Again, just a couple of plays, if you know, if it goes their way as opposed to Baltimore's, they end up on top. And that certainly does go down, at least in my book, as an instant classic, no doubt about it. And you mentioned 42 points there from the offense, and that's where I wanted to go next. I know against Tennessee, people were a bit baffled, right? Why are they throwing the football so much? Why are they not just handing it off every play? And I think we kind of got our answer to that against Baltimore, right? This offense is capable of moving the ball consistently when they're putting it in the hands of Baker Mayfield and he's making throws down the field. My question to you, though, JT, is that sustainable? Is this too small of a sample size to say, yeah, Baker Mayfield's got it, he can sling the rock around the field all game long, or do you want to maybe pull back on that a bit moving forward?
Well, I didn't have a problem with them throwing it as much as they did because I can't argue against 42 points. But I think going forward, when they fix things on the other side of the football and they don't have so many injuries that are making it difficult for them to have that continuity on the defensive side of the ball, they can throw the ball because then, you know, if things don't go well on one offensive series because you threw the ball, you have more confidence in your defense to get out there and get you the ball back. And now, on Monday night, I mean, Lamar Jackson, absolutely incredible. You can say all you want about his locker room break, whatever it was for. I think it really was to get an IV because he was cramping. In fact, when he came out, I don't know if you noticed, and I subscribed on Twitter to a doctor that does pretty much as injuries happen around the league, he kind of diagnoses them from his perch as a quote-unquote see-all, know-it-all kind of guy. And there was a a bandage of some sort on his left arm around the elbow area, and he did not have that when he went in. So it leads me to believe he went in there. You can say all you want about a certain kind of cramping or what have you, but he went in there and got some kind of an IV, and he was able to come back, and regrettably for Browns fans, came back to that game right at the moment that he did to throw to throw that pass and to dash the hopes of Browns fans. It was crazy scenario there.
Well, that was certainly worth following on Twitter, the different theories and rumors thrown out around that disappearance into the locker room in the quick, magical return. But, we'll let that lie where it lays. John, I think one thing from that Baltimore game that stood out, and you kind of hit on it there, especially on the defensive side of the football, right? They need to get healthy. The Browns are just really banged up right now, so obviously to make a deep postseason run, you're going to need a full, not a full healthy roster, but as close to it as you possibly can. Do we have any updates in that area? Are we seeing guys back on the practice field this week? Are we going to see more guys out there available against the Giants on Sunday?
Well, on Wednesday, the Browns just had kind of like a walkthrough of an extensive kind of a practice on this day, as they, have a short work week. But you're looking at Miles, who had the elbow, went out, came back in. Denzel is practicing, and it's going to be a day-to-day thing, but it's trending pretty good in that direction. Hooper should be back because of the neck situation. I think he even said as much on social media. There's other guys that are banged up. You still have Kadarrell Hodge. I believe he's got the hammy. And then Wills and Teller, not to be confused with Penn and Teller, but Wills and Teller, those guys are nursing injuries. I'm certain that they will be able to play. But, yeah, it's that time of the year, Rocco. They played 13 games and three to go, and everybody's got something or another that they're dealing with, and you just find ways to get out on the field.
Yeah, and that's why I kind of disagreed with a certain national radio host that was, really just kind of taking a victory lap around the Browns following their loss, talking about the defense getting run over and looking weak and this, that, and the other. And I don't know if I necessarily agreed. Yeah, they gave up a lot of points, sure. But you're banged up right now, as are a lot of other teams, sure. But I don't know. I didn't necessarily agree. I didn't like the whole victory lap around the Browns kind of take, but that kind of is what it is at this point with that. So, record-wise, JT, where do the Browns need to be if they want to confirm a postseason spot this year? What do they need to get to?
Right now, handicapping who they potentially could be facing. I mean, they could be anywhere from, let's say, maybe the 5 seed to the 7 seed, and I think they got to win 11 games, Rocco, and so that means they should, take care of business with the two inferior teams in New York, the Giants and the Jets, and then see what they can do. They may be playing week 17 against the Steelers with everything already locked up and no wiggle room for one team to move up or down or whatever. And so that would be kind of like just don't get hurt, play the game as well as you can, keep your options somewhat close to your vest, don't pull out any wild stuff that you might want to use in the playoffs. And so I think they're going to need to be 11-5, Rocco. I think 10-6 is kind of dicey because, a lot of teams are maneuvering well towards the playoffs. Mm-hmm. The team you're kind of worried about playing, if it slotted that way, would be the Buffalo Bills. Because Josh Allen is trending in a very good direction. And that young man, I guess he's a testament to what happens if you have the same coach, the same system for a guy for an extended period of time, allowing him to mature and be better. And that's what we're seeing with Josh Allen, whereas you haven't seen that, obviously, in Cleveland with Baker having so many different coaches and coordinators.
Who would have guessed a little consistency brings a little success to the ball club? I never would have guessed, John. Wow, that's astonishing to see what
Incredible.
Josh Allen's accomplished. But in all seriousness, he really has, I think, opened some eyes this year, Josh Allen. I mean, he's been very, very good, looked great against the Steelers. So, I think if you're a Browns fan, you're hoping to avoid a playoff matchup with the Bills. So, that final three-game stretch, you got the first of your two New York matchups this Sunday as they'll take on the Giants. They'll say hello to an old
old friend in Freddie Kitchens, part of that Giants coaching staff. Should be a winnable game for the Browns, but any given Sunday, right? So what do they need to do to take care of business against the Giants?
Well, I think this is the perfect opponent, Rocco, and it's also the perfect time that they're playing. If this were going to be Sunday at 1 o'clock, mundane week 14 or 15, week 15 scrimmage, if you will, with the New York Football Giants at 1 o'clock with not much of the country watching it and kind of like a blah, kind of a matchup, that would be harder, I think, to get ready for. The Browns have certainly seen success come their way this year. They know they're on a growth pattern. They know they're trending towards the playoffs. It's going to happen. So I think this is a good opponent for them to face and also to be playing on in the glare of the lights, the primetime lights. That's going to be a good thing because I think they showed up and showed out last Monday night on Monday Night Football. And I thought they showed the rest of the country and the fans, oh my gosh, Rocco. I mean, give those 12,000 fans, first of all, probably they all need new larynx because they sounded like, 70,000. It real testimony to the phenomenal fans that we have here in Northeast Ohio. So it's a winnable game, Rocco. Here's a team that started at 0-5. In recent time, they trended upward. They actually did beat the Seahawks a couple of weeks ago and then lost this past week to the Cards. And the biggest problem for them is they have a quarterback who is a mobile quarterback, but he's got a hamstring issue. And so Daniel Jones can't move around as well as he has. He was sacked 6 times this past week. So there is an opportunity for the Browns' defensive front to go after him. So it certainly is a winnable game. And Freddie Kitchens was very magnanimous in his compliments of the Browns.
I saw.
For the fans. Yeah, and he was really classy about it. Said a lot of great things about Odell Beckham because obviously the media in New York would be asking about OBJ. And, he didn't use the opportunity to, make any swipes at Cleveland. Mm-hmm. It was a, one-year experiment for him. Now he's an assistant coach, and he's been very cool about it. And I'm sure the guys will enjoy seeing him, on the field before the game because he's a good guy. He really is a good guy. It just didn't work out as the head coach of the Browns.
And it's not like he came into Berea and clasped the hands together and said, all right, let's run this thing straight into the ground as quickly as I can. I mean, he obviously wanted to succeed while he was here. It just didn't pan out, and, the reasons have been discussed at length at this point. But, it'll be nice to see, a friendly face there on Sunday night against the Giants. So, John, I appreciate the time this afternoon, man. I really do. Hopefully the Browns are able to take care of business against those Giants on Sunday. Again, like we said, winnable, but you never know in the NFL. They are professionals on the other side, too, so we'll see how it shakes out. JT, I appreciate the time. Look forward to catching up again next week.
Sounds great. You guys have a great week.